Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, one of the biggest buzzwords for 2019 and 2020 is IoT, or Internet of Things. But here at Payments Journal, we focus on the payment side of things. So the question is, what is an IoT payment? Now, that might seem like a simple answer, but Mercator Advisor Group says not so much. But they've created a definition, taxonomy, and framework that really hones into what a true IoT payment is. So joining me on today's episode, I have David Nilyubin, who is the research analyst at Mercator Advisor Group, and Tim Sloan, who is the VP of Payments Innovation at Mercator Advisor Group. Now, in addition to going over the definition, taxonomy, and framework, we're going to be taking a look at IoT payment volumes. And what might surprise you is who is already using IoT payments in the marketplace today. Now, one last thing before we get started is that Mercator Advisor Group is going to be hosting a webinar taking an in-depth look at IoT payments. And for those of you who are interested in the subject, and I would assume most of you are as you clicked on this podcast, and you're following along on paymentsjournal.com, you're going to be able to register for this webinar in the article below. So enough of me going on, and let's start the show. So David and Tim, thank you so much for talking to me today about IoT payments. Now, David, I want to start with you because I know Mercator Advisor Group has been taking a look at IoT payments for a while now, and I think they've created a great kind of payments categorization framework that kind of best sets the tone for what an IoT payment actually is and what it's not. And for those of you who are following along on paymentsjournal.com, you're going to be able to view this chart in the article below. So David, if you could explain this chart and then particularly pull out that whole IoT section for our audience.
Sure. So we came to this framework by trying to analyze the payments market. We split it into how much data the device collects and then the triggering mechanism, whether the triggering is done by a human or whether it's an automated machine triggered payment. So if you have a lot of data collected by a sensor and then a machine decides on that data to automate a payment, that would be classified as an IoT payment, which is the top right corner.
Interesting. So one of the things, though, that I really want to kind of hammer home is because I know that, you know, we've talked about just IoT and IoT payments, you know, kind of quite a bit just through Mercator and Payments Journal and on the podcast. And I really kind of want to set the two apart because I think a lot of the industry looks at IoT and IoT payments essentially as the same thing. So IoT, I think a lot of the landscape looks and they say, oh, that's smart watches, that's my smart speakers, things. But it's really, it's the Internet of Things. So it's anything that's connected to an internet device. So when you look at IoT in that realm, you can't necessarily say, well, IoT and IoT payments are the same, so anything that's made from an IoT device or any payment made from an IoT device is an IoT payment, because that's not necessarily true. Do I understand that correct, David?
Sure. So the most simple example to give would be an Apple smartwatch. We see that as being able to make all four payments. For example, when you scan your watch next to a POS system and it reads your card, that's not in no way different than just using your physical credit card. You haven't really utilized the Internet of Things network in order to make decisions for you. You can use your IoT device, which is the watch, in order to place an one-time online payment. That would be a human-triggered payment, but because there's real-time data attached to it, maybe you're surfing Amazon on your watch, it's already pre-sorted the products that you may want to purchase, but you actually make the purchase decision. That could be an online payment. And an IoT payment, a true IoT payment, would be the whole purchase is automated from the sensor. So your Apple Watch might monitor your heart rate, and on average, for example, it detects that in these 2 previous months, your heart rate has been higher on average, and this is statistically significant, which might indicate a health issue, and it automatically places a payment for a copayment at your doctor. So that would be a classical IoT payment in that example. Let's look at a recurring payment from that IoT device, the Apple Watch. It's very simple. You go on the Wall Street Journal application and you pay for a recurring Wall Street Journal subscription, which is the variable that we're looking at is only time. I hope that kind of clears up what an IoT payment is versus an IoT device.
No, I certainly think that it does, David, and certainly thank you for that. Now, one other thing, though, that I want to get a little bit of a clarification, or if we could expand upon a little bit here, is that I know Mercator Advisor Group has really developed a taxonomy for IoT payments here. And I was hoping that perhaps you could kind of explain a little bit of what that taxonomy is, because I think ultimately, once we now that we've understood the definition of IoT and how Mercator Advisor Group sees IoT, and then understand the taxonomy, ultimately, then we can get to, okay, here's how Mercator Advisor Group is arriving at a number that's taking a look at total volume of IoT payments. So let's start with that taxonomy first, if we could, David.
Sure. So let's go back to what an IoT payment is. It's an IoT device automatically placing an order from a sensor. So what we've decided to do is break up the purchase from this item and call the IoT device that's placing the order an origination product because that's where the order originates. And what we've done is we've captured all of the origination products that are able to make IoT transactions or able to make IoT payments. We've captured the company that makes them. We've captured the NYIAX industry that the company is in. We've also captured the NYIAX industry of the origination product. That way, you can see maybe a company that is categorized as working with household products is suddenly making origination products that are also household products that can place IoT payments. So that's one side of our framework, the origination product side. The other side would be the actual item purchased. So let's just think of a simple example, a Brita Infinity pitcher, which would be a Brita filter, a Brita pitcher that everybody is kind of used to. It's in your refrigerator. This pitcher can automatically order new filters when it's time for replacement. So the origination product would be the Brita Infinity pitcher, and the item ordered would be a Brita filter. Now we have this new side to our framework, the item purchase side, and we've captured the NYIAX industry of the item purchased itself. And we've also captured the companies that make that item purchase and their NYIAX industry. This way, we would be able to see which companies are playing around with IoT, with the idea of IoT payments. Are they making, products that are purchased by origination products in the same industry that they are in or in different industries? This way, we're able to assess the market and cut up the value, the overall value of all IoT purchase transactions and look at it from all angles.
Thanks, David. And so as we look at that, you know, we are all familiar with recurring transactions. And in essence, what we've done here is IoT has taken those recurring transactions and automated them, taking people almost entirely out of the process. When you've used that last item, it automatically orders it. And in our exploration of this market, we've already identified more than $1 billion in 2019. And our ability now to tie it to the NYIAX industry codes means that we can look at one solution and understand what industry that solution comes from and all the other companies that are in that similar industry so that we can understand not only existing products, but future products that might come from others within that industry. You know, when I started the prepaid marketplace, it started out with what I identified as 13 segments back in 2004. By 2008, I was up to 24 segments. And that's our intent with the IoT payments framework is that ability to identify volume coming from specific segments, specific industry codes, so that we can track it over time and so that we can help our clients understand where they sit within that environment.
And just to add on that, it's not only from the origination product. So not only where are IoT payments coming from, but what industries are being purchased from IoT payment devices. So now you have maybe a manufacturer only does consumables, and they might go ahead and want to partner with companies that make IoT devices in order to lock a consumer in to purchase their manufactured consumables. So it helps in navigating in this new space.
No, I certainly think that that's interesting. And I think it just kind of shows the complexity of the market itself. Because, you know, David, as you pointed out, you kind of said like, hey, look, if we take a look at the Apple Watch example, not only is it that, hey, this Apple Watch could fit into these different category types, but then you've got to be able to say, well, which of these payments that were made was an actual true IoT payment, kind of separating it from itself. And Tim, I think it was fantastic for those who might have missed it in terms of just giving the volume that really that this framework has kind of shown just in 2019 alone. And I know that Mercator Advisor Group is looking at 2020 as well too for that. And there should be a report issued soon kind of taking a look at the year 2020, what it means to IoT payments. But now I've really got to kind of take a look at a little bit of a higher level here and talk about just the benefits of an IoT payment. So I'd love to get from your perspective, what is it that we're really seeing that are going to be the benefits that companies are going to gain from really kind of supporting this IoT driven payment framework and model that you've developed?
IoT is similar to recurring transactions, except it's fully automated and it's based on analytics that evaluate the signals coming from the device. And so this can benefit a company in several different ways. Number one, it automates the process of replenishment. And so the funds coming from the consumer are automated and automatically go to the replenishment of the item that fits the device that the company sold, which generates additional revenues going forward on a regular basis. But then there's also the ability to think about how IoT and the signal analysis can actually shape the form of the product. So Progressive Insurance, instead of doing regular monthly insurance on cars, is able to put a transponder in the car and now custom fit the insurance cost to that driver's driving habits. How often do they drive? How safely do they drive? Do they speed? Is it in a park? Is the car parked in a garage? And they're able, therefore, to reduce the cost of insurance while making sure that their overall cost structures are covered in the payments they require, but getting real-time data to make adjustments to what that should be. Our expectation is we're going to see more and more of that second environment where the companies can start to really shape what they offer based on the information they're collecting from the item.
And I want to emphasize that readers of the report would be pleasantly surprised to see many Fortune 500 and Fortune 100 companies making products and generating revenue from products that are capable of placing IoT payments. And these companies already have a platform of users using these devices with automatic IoT transactions and their steady revenue and volume year over year.
You know, one other further example, Tim, that I'd love to throw out there, and just so that way then I can kind of, for my own reference, make sure that I understand this, because, you know, one of the things that's talked about in the media a lot right now is kind of really supply chain management and kind of how COVID has really thrown a lot of things out of whack here. And let's just say that I'm a company that produces widgets, but I rely on another company for a certain part of that. Are you saying that I could have essentially use like an IoT payment type of structure where I have my factory line going through. It's monitoring how many pieces of how many things from this other company that I rely on are attached to this new product per line, and it's going through. And then once it starts to get low, it recognizes that and says, "Up, you're going to need new parts from this company within the next say 2 weeks here." So it knows that it's going to say, hey, it's going to take actually, you know, a week and a half for those parts to arrive. So I need to order those parts within the X amount of days, but it's doing that automatically for me. So essentially I'm going to get kind of just in time delivery of that specific product that I need just before I run out, because the device is kind of keeping track of all of those things. And then is just automatically making that payment to that company to say, hey, I need new things. Here's the payment for it. Please make sure they arrive by this day. Do I kind of understand it from like a B2B transaction type of format? Is that how IoT payments work?
That is correct, although it's actually capable of going beyond that. So if I'm a manufacturer and I'm ordering parts from a third party to add to my supply chain, that IoT device, let's say it's a camera that's looking at how many parts I'm using to construct my final product. It can be analyzing those parts and therefore getting ready to order replacement parts as they're needed. But it's also possible that my supplier is also tracking the parts that are in shipment and can tell how many are on a container ship pulling into port, how many are being loaded onto a container ship in China, and how many are being manufactured in China, so that they can actually manage the supply chain end to end. And David has done some research on that.
Yeah, Tim. So in our research, we've definitely come across companies, especially in the B2B space, that are utilizing IoT devices specifically for visibility and tracking of their product. A lot of the times companies do not know where their product is, especially if it's going overseas, and attaching an IoT sensor that can track that item just increases efficiency and optimizes delivery.
Yeah, so no, obviously, so thank you for that, David. So obviously that kind of sets up the next question here, right? So it's clearly there's a huge opportunity and benefit for organizations when it comes to IoT and IoT payments, but what is really preventing companies from entering into the IoT-driven payments market and really supporting those devices necessary to make this happen?
The toughest part is to actually make the software and to connect the device. There's a lot of research and development costs that go into making these devices, making sure that consumers can use them. How do consumers react? Is this an initiative? Any new initiative for a company is difficult, and this is one of them. Especially because it's so tech-based, so it requires a lot of research and development costs.
All right. Now, I know clearly that this is something that Mercator looks deeply into, in that you have a lot of information surrounding it that we really haven't even been able to cover off on today. And I know that there is going to be an upcoming webinar that's going to go a little bit into the weeds around IoT payments. So for those of you who are listening to this podcast here, certainly be on the lookout for when that webinar will be coming out. But I have to ask David and Tim, you know, for all of the payment players that are out there in the market and all the merchants and everybody that's looking at IoT and IoT payments, what kind of benefit can they get from talking with Mercator Advisory Group on kind of the strategy that they should implement when they're taking a look at IoT and IoT payments?
Well, Ryan, I'd like to point out that it's very similar to the work we did to create and expand the prepaid marketplace. Once you're able to have a taxonomy that identifies the different ways the technology is being used in the market so that you can properly count it, then you can start understanding how large the opportunity is and help guide companies into an execution that helps them capture some of that market share. And I believe that the taxonomy that we put together will help our clients be able to do that within the IoT space, in that it ties it to the NIACS code and provides a standardized way to look at the market, while also being able to then see where the new opportunities are in the market that align with the company's expertise and existing product set. So I think we have developed a framework and taxonomy that's really going to help our clients get into this market more rapidly.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, David and Tim, for taking the time today for speaking to me about IoT payments. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Okay, thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.